fighting for America.
Last year was the best job growth we had seen since the 1990s. The unemployment rate's now dropped to 5.6%. We've seen manufacturing come back. We have cut our deficits. Gas prices have dropped.
Fighting for Idaho.
Government is already too big. The deficit has gone from $10 trillion to $18. $18 trillion in the amount of time he's been there. But it's not enough. It's not enough.
Fighting for you.
But if we nominate another candidate in that mold, the same people who stayed home in 08 and 12 will stay home in 2016, and the Democrats will win again.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you. Good morning. And our pregame left in the program here as we count down the moments to the president coming to town. I love what Two Fly Bri did earlier. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. Idaho, have you been naughty or nice? Now, that's an original thought. And coming up, we'll hear from our own friends, Tea Party Bob in studio with us, Pat from Middleton. We thank Patriot Ray for swinging in. Do thank these folks for coming by and giving us their thoughts and their expertise. We do appreciate it. And we appreciate your opinion as well. Phone number's here, 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. And coming up tomorrow, we'll speak with our friend Ken Ivory of the American Lands Council. Because I believe, and I've written about this at Obama's Idaho on 580KIDO.com, that the president will make the big land grab today. And we will talk to our experts, Pat from Middleton and Tea Party Bob, on whether or not this is in addition to a nuclear deal to bring in more nuclear waste to the INL. So we've got a lot of issues there. In addition to that, your reaction to the State of the Union. We're joined by our great friend, Senator Mike Crapo. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Your reaction to the big speech last night, sir?
Well, I wasn't surprised by it, but I am still disappointed. I mean, the president did what presidents usually do, and that is he ran through a whole list of issues that sound really good and basically proposed a lot of more government, bigger government, spent about two paragraphs saying how he would pay for it, which was to raise taxes. And, you know, basically just went right back to big government and tax and spend policies. Notwithstanding the fact that during his presidency, the national debt has gone up by 70% and is now over $18 trillion, which, by the way, he did not even mention. He did not even mention our national debt.
Well, you know, he mentioned everything is wonderful. Senator, your thoughts on the proposals the president now is championing, that we should have a middle-class tax benefit at the expense of the upper class and free community college for everyone, and he saved the world, and Afghanistan and Iraq. We could go on and on, sir. What do you think?
Well, it was a lot of very carefully worded bragging about the economy and things that ignored the real threats and challenges. I mean, if you were to listen to his speech, you would think that the economy is raging and that everything is great and that what we need to do is just to have a huge surge in new government programs. But, you know, let's take, for example, his claim that the deficit has been reduced by half. Well, first of all, we shouldn't be bragging about only reducing it by half. And secondly, he didn't point out that he raised it by more than double before he reduced it by half. And he didn't reduce it. It was the U.S. House of Representatives and other conservatives in Congress that pulled back on his purse strings. So anyway, I mean, we could go on and on. But the bottom line is that literally the president has put forward yet again another budget and another set of proposals to Congress that will harm the economy and dig deeper our crisis, our fiscal crisis, relating to the national debt.
Senator, what do you expect the president to talk about here?
You know, there's been a lot of speculation, and I don't know for sure. I suspect that it will have a lot of the same tone and content that was there last night, although I also suspect he'll probably try to focus a little better. Now, whether that means it'll be education or whether it'll be immigration, or something like that, I expect it will be several of his new proposed initiatives where he wants to have more and bigger government. I don't expect that he will talk about the paying side of it, the taxes and so forth. But we'll see. It's hard to know what he has so many topics that he could pick from, given his speech last night.
Senator, do you believe that he will make a run at the Boulder White Mountain region there, Boulder White Clouds?
The Boulder White Clouds? I don't think so. I've heard the speculation that he may, and he certainly could. There's no question but that he is looking at it, and he very well could do it. Although I believe that he has made a sufficient commitment to hold off on that to see what Congress does for at least this year. I don't know what his timeline might be, but I believe that he's working on a later timeline for taking action. So although I don't expect it today, nothing would surprise me.
Well, it would make sense, one of the reasons why he's here.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. He could do that. But like I say, it's just that some of the signals that have been given by the White House are that they are going to hold off and if they take action, do something later this year or even next year. So, it's hard to predict him, but I personally don't think he'll do it, but would not be surprised.
Senator, you know, you're familiar with this area. You love this area. You're from this area. If it's not for Boulder, what do you think? Why do you think that the president? I mean, you have a lot of Democrats, a lot of young people that are excited. It's good for the state, but you know, nobody's asked the question except us. Why is he here? So why do you think he's coming here?
I don't have a good answer for that because it's hard to figure out why he would pick Idaho, except to say that Idaho is one of only three or four states, I think, that are left that he has not gone to. And he may be trying to just hit every state in the country before he ends his presidency. It might be something as simple as that. Realize that he's not just going to Boise. He's going all over the country, and he's going to be giving speeches to promote his policies and his new agenda and his engagement with Congress all across the United States. And this is just one of those swings. So it may just be that something as simple as the fact that they decided they needed to get to Idaho and they'd put Idaho in on this swing.
Senator, what else should we take away from last night and today that you'd like people at 580KIDO to know?
Well, another discouraging thing, but I think it deserves notice, and that is the president once again said, I'm very willing to work with those who disagree with me. Remember the last time he said that, he said, but if we don't agree with my way, then I'll use my pen and my phone. Well, this time he said it a little differently, but he did say it. He basically said, I want to work with everybody, and we need to get past a lot of our differences and try to find where we can have common ground. But, you know, then he said, if you pass something to change what I did on immigration, I'll veto it. If you try to change what I did on health care, if you try to change my negotiating with Iran, if you try to push through the Keystone XL pipeline, and who knows how long his list is, he said, I'll veto that. So we're right back to a confrontational president who is saying, look, we all need to do things my way, and if we do, then we're going to be able to get along and we'll compromise and everything will be good. But if not, I'm going to veto the bills. And I think that he was sending a very strong signal that even though he talked in terms of bipartisanship and working together, he was sending a strong signal that things haven't changed and he's going to continue to push to do things his way.
Senator Crapo, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Good to visit with you, Kevin.
Take care.
You too.
All right. There we have it. Senator Crapo with us. We're joined by you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We have TPB and Pat from Middleton with us. Your reaction to the senator?
You know, I think he's got it pretty much nailed down in terms of what happened with the speech last night as far as, again, as the white clouds go. And it is a possibility he does something like that. Why did he pick Boise? He's only been here once. That was before he was president, when he was a senator. And, of course, they had the big stadium there. They had, 12,000 people down at Taco Bell.
Cecil Andrus went crazy introducing him. Said he was going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, well, he has been
in
this big thing
for 6 years.
And
this man's going to end the wars. He's going to make things wonderful. It's almost like he wrote the speech for last night's State of the Union back in 08.
Well, that's why Cecil's not the governor anymore either.
He'd make sure nuclear waste wasn't coming in.
And, you know, that's another problem.
Before we get
problem.
To that, though, let's get to Pat, shy Pat from Middleton here.
Okay. Yes.
I like what Mike Crapo has to say. He's very
reasonable. That'd be Senator Crapo to you.
Senator Crapo, yes, sir. He's very succinct in what he says. He's very sounded a little out of breath, like he's been on the phone quite a bit talking to everybody. you know, Obama, Bob just said he was a big thing, but he's not a great thing. And this is one of four states he had left he hadn't been to while he was president. After this, there's only three more, and I think he'll plan on hitting all of them just as simple. I think it is just as simple as that. The way Obama's demeanor's been, he's very, very childish in a lot of ways, doesn't like being called out or challenged. I think it's very simple as that. I've been to all 50 states as president.
Yeah, but the skinny here, and I've put my limited journalistic skills on the line. Well, being the only one that's asked why he's here, number one. Number two, why not take Boulder?
Well, I think he could very well just do it, just out of spite.
Did you see how what the senator said? Well, I don't think he's going to, but he could, so I wouldn't put anything past him.
He made the point that he's made concessions saying that he wouldn't, but that was last year when he didn't have a Republican control of both House and Senate where he can't win with them. So he probably would just out of spite just say, hey, I'm going to, through executive order, just take it out of the Antiquities Act and just take it.
Well, and again, you can read about my prediction at 580kido.com, Obama's Idaho. What do you think?
I did read it. It was a very good article.
No, I mean, but what do you think on your opinion on, and thank you, what do you think of my prediction there?
I think you're right. I really think that he is here to make a statement. And the one thing he could do to leave a legacy here in Idaho is to take that under, you know, because that is the one thing we don't have is a monument in that area, and they've been fighting for it for years, and I think he could put his stamp on it and say, I've had an effect. I mean, Frank Church has his name on a wilderness area. You know, I think Obama would be Obama's White Clouds, you know.
Obama's White Clouds. That you heard it here first.
I'm not so sure I enjoy that one.
Now, wait a minute. You and
I didn't say I enjoyed it.
Now, Pat from Middleton was making fun of us, but you and I had a contentious point about this because I'm not going to put words in your mouth. You scooped me to my own pseudo-exclusive yesterday.
And you hung up on him.
Thanks for bringing that up, Pat.
I still think, you know, that with that deal going on the nukes and bringing in more nuclear waste, I don't understand why the conservationists would be happy if they got the White Clouds in exchange for more nuclear waste.
Well, do you believe that he's going to take the White Clouds?
I think there's a very good opportunity for him to do that. I mean, he's wanted to do that. Taking it through the Antiquities Act would be a lot different than having it go through Congress.
Well, first, he was the Black Franklin Roosevelt. Would he be the Black Teddy Roosevelt?
It's very possible.
Two Roosevelts. That's a pretty good deal.
Very, very much so. You know, Bob,
Did he answer the question, though?
Did who?
Did Tea Party Bob answer the question? Because he kind of waffled a little.
Well, yeah, he kind of waffled.
Not like you.
But Tea Party Bob, you know, you brought up a good point. He likes to stick it to he's got the environmentalists on one side wanting the White Clouds, but yet he's going to stick it to them, and he's going to make them take it. He goes, if you want the White Clouds, you got to take the... So he does this all the time.
Here's the conspiracy theory. The governor gets busted by two former governors for taking in nuclear waste. We find out from the attorney general that we haven't been compliant with the nuclear limitations before, and then a week later the president comes in. Are they related, or am I cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Well, what is the reason why we are taking in this nuclear waste in the first place?
What are we getting in return?
$10 to $20 million.
What, to the INL?
But is it no, that's going to be money, I guess, that would come in here for storage and for whatever.
So is it to store the waste? Or
yeah,
not?
You got 50 rods.
Right. Not only that, but then we get
it's
money
for research.
Thank you, Pat. We get money for the Boulder White Clouds, right?
Well,
we would get federal money for that, so that would be a quid pro quo.
I don't think the money we're going to get is for the Boulder White Clouds.
All right, much more coming up, 580-5436. We are speculating on what you believe the president will say today. Pat from Middleton, who can't get a word in edgewise, TPB, KM, with you, 580-KIDO. Time for traffic.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
8:24, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our pre-protest party continues. By the way, a gentleman texted in. I believe his name is Rich. Kevin, I thought Obama said we have 57 states. When is he going to visit the other seven states? Thank you very much for that. You can always follow me on Twitter at Kevin Miller Show, the station at 580KIDO, Kevin Miller Show on Facebook, and lots of great things. So we are talking about the president's speech, number one, and number two, at 580-5436, 580KIDO. Our thoughts on whether or not we're in trouble when it comes to the nukes. You know, that you were talking about, you have a family member that worked at INL.
He did. He did. He worked at INL, and they were, they did, it's a research facility. So but if this is bringing them in just to store them and not to really do research, if they're doing research, I think it's a legitimate reason. But if they're not, and it's just to store them just to get some money and trade the White Clouds and Simpsons, get whatever, you know, it's not a good deal. But I think it's Obama shoving the nuclear down the waste down the throat of the environmentalists and talking about White Clouds all in the same boat. He just does this. I mean, that's just the way he operates.
Yeah, but you say that this is a research facility. That's not true. The Department of Energy basically defines that facility as a reactor development. It's going to be ongoing waste storage, disposal of materials and production, and reactor research. But there's a fifth one, which is now cleanup. Those are their four missions.
Right. Cleanup. Learn how to do cleanup. That's research.
All right. Here we have it here at 580KIDO. So let's talk a little bit about the past of the INEL. And we were talking about the Snake River Aquifer.
You know, the crazy thing is that going back into the, the INL was started back in 1949. But it covers almost 890 square miles, which is about two-thirds the size of Rhode Island, and it's based on an old gunnery range from the U.S. Navy. This is a huge area. I don't think people understand how big it is. And they have been dumping garbage in there that has not been in line trenches for years, and there's still a lot of it there. And it's been deteriorating, and a lot of these chemicals have been sifting through into the aquifer. In fact, if you go back years ago when the big protest took place back in the 1970s, they had been pumping this garbage into the aquifer without any hindrance from anyone.
Are you saying aquifer because you think that's what's going to happen when the aquifer catches fire?
No.
Aquifer?
Look. Kevin?
All right. Hold on. Let's again, this is a serious program here, Pat.
Oh, I thought
you and your shenanigans are totally disrupting the organization here. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. And we go back to the president last night talking about giving people a raise.
Missed. It's 2015. It's time. We still need to make sure employees get the overtime they've earned. Yeah. And everyone in this Congress who still refuses to raise the minimum wage, I say this. If you truly believe you could work full-time and support a family on less than $15,000 a year, try it. If not, vote to give millions of the hardest working people in America a raise.
Here's the thing with him. It's he can't govern, but he sure can effectively campaign. And here he is, didn't he talk about not taunting Congress and wanted to work together, and then he's smacking them?
He's just a pot stirrer. That's all he does.
A rabble-rouser.
Nothing he says is relevant.
Well, but we go back to this, and you talk to business owners and other people. My basic thought about raising the minimum wage is when you do that, don't you have to raise prices on everything else?
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a McDonald's that I saw. I don't know what city it was in, but they recently went through all this walkouts and all that stuff. And what they found for their teller machines was where you walked up and you placed your own order at a machine. They're going to eliminate those types of jobs.
You know, Kevin, take a look at what's happening in small business. In the Gallup poll lately, there are 6 million small businesses in this country, and they provide over half of the new jobs for people in this country. And what's happening here is for the first time in 35 years, we have more businesses closing than we have being formed. Now, that's the end, as far as I'm concerned, of the free enterprise system. And unless that's reversed, we have a serious problem here. And they're closing because of regulations. They're closing because of all of the government intrusion. I mean, you can't survive if you can't make a dollar.
Well, and you would hope that when someone got to the point in their life where they're old enough to have kids and have a family and maybe have a house or an apartment, that they have a little bit more of a skill set or a work ethic behind them to where they're making more than minimum wage. But it got to the point where I couldn't even get that first my daughter, when she graduated, could not get a job because she didn't have any previous job work.
Hold on.
So no one knows for certain which industries will generate the jobs of the future. But we do know we want them here in America. We know that.
There we have it, Pat.
Well, you're not going to get jobs in America if you're going to keep regulating them to death here and making it cheaper to go overseas to do it. I mean, you can't charge more and make the businesses pay Obamacare, pay minimum wage, and yet they can go to China or Ireland or other countries where wages are cheaper.
More coming up next. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
So let's set our sights higher than a single oil pipeline. Let's pass a bipartisan infrastructure plan that could create more than 30 times as many jobs per year and make this country stronger for decades to come.
I can hear it now. We could call it the Obama Highway. By the way, my take on what the president will say today, 580kido.com, Obama's Idaho. Don't forget, you folks that love the NASCAR, like myself, Daytona 500 just around the corner. How would you like to go? Well, 580kido and MCA Nashville giving you your chance to win a free trip to the Daytona 500. All you have to do when you hear the driver of the day, and today it's Jeff Gordon during Kevin Miller in the Morning, be caller 10 at 580-5436. That's 580-KIDO.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, driver of the Drive-In Hunger Chevrolet SS.
Gotta love that Jeff Gordon. Certainly, he is moving and shaking. Hard to believe that Jeff Gordon is one of the older guys in NASCAR. Coming up, we'll talk to our panel, Tea Party Bob and Pat from Middleton. Before that, though, we go to our great friend, Senator Risch. Senator Risch, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, you've been working, you and Senator Crapo and others here in Idaho have been working behind the scenes to raise awareness for Pastor Saeed to come home. I know you've talked to the State Department, the president coming to town today and has agreed to meet with Nagme that you've worked with, Pastor Saeed's wife, for unfortunately many, many years. Your thoughts on this news?
Well, first of all, as background, you're right. I sit on the Foreign Relations Committee, I'm number two there, as you know, and every time they come in and talk about Iran, and it's been mostly Wendy Sherman, the undersecretary, I've done everything I can to underscore for them the humanitarian compassion aspects of what's going on here and how simple it would be for them to get these people freed. They've made this deal with Iran, the temporary deal, and of course they're negotiating a permanent deal, which is supposed to conclude between March and June of this year. And every time they've made the deal or extended the deal, they've freed up more cash for Iran from oil sales, and it's been in the billions of dollars now. I've been in the frame of mind from the beginning that when these people were sitting down at the table, all they have to do is put their hand on that cash and say, okay, we're agreeing to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Number 7 is the cash, and it's right here. Take my hand off the cash the minute you free those three people. This is a country that is cash-starved, a government that's cash-starved, and they would in a minute release those three people in exchange for the cash. I think what they're doing is a bad deal in the negotiations. They're not doing it right. As usual with this administration, they're incredibly naive on these foreign relations matter. Interestingly enough, Kevin, I'm in a foreign relations meeting right now, and I stepped out of that meeting and came into a secure room here to make this call. But we now have the number two person, Mr. Blinken, who's in front of the committee. And as soon as I'm done with this phone call, I'm going back in there, and I'm going to press the case with him again on this and point out to them how important it is to get this done. These are the people that claim to be the compassionate ones, and they are so intent on getting a deal, preserving their legacy or creating a legacy for themselves. And in the middle of this is caught poor Pastor Saeed.
Well, Senator Risch, let's talk about foreign relations. The president talking about we're out of Iraq, we're going to be out of Afghanistan, but those aren't peaceful places anymore. Are you concerned about the destabilization of that region?
Well, the situation is clearly worse. I mean, there's no question about it. You have Iraq and Afghanistan, but right now the hot spots are Syria and Yemen. Yemen is has become, just in the last 48 hours, a failed state, although they were clearly on their way, and it didn't surprise anyone. And the jihadists are in charge in Yemen, and there's, interestingly enough, there's two factions fighting for control of Yemen, neither one of which are our friends. As far as Syria is concerned, you have ISIS, or more properly ISIL, that's in the south and central and east part of the country, that are trying to create a caliphate. That is a purely Islamic country that is governed by Sharia law and by the principles that that motivate these radical Islamists. And they have said, and they have said openly, that once they get their country established, this new Islamic country, they are going to move to the West and punish them for what they see are sins that we commit every day. And of course, they are getting relatively dug in, and we've seen what's happened since then. They've these attacks in Paris and other places are results of ISIS inspiring these lone wolves or lone cells or whatever you want to call them to do these kinds of attacks. And I'd love to say, oh, don't worry, everything's fine. It is not, and we're going to see more of this stuff. Fortunately for America, we have a very robust intelligence network and system in America. That doesn't mean it can't happen here. In my judgment, we're safer than, for instance, Europe is, either Western or Eastern Europe. But that doesn't mean we are immune from it by any stretch of the imagination. You know, the fact of the matter is, we got to be right 100% of the time. The terrorists only have to be right once for us to have a tragedy.
Senator Risch with us, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Senator, your reaction to the State of the Union last night?
Well, you know, first of all, you walk in there and you sit down with everybody else and listen. And this is the sixth and seventh last one that I've heard. And I think everybody loses sight that we only have 729 days left of this nightmare. And sitting there listening to that speech, this guy is probably one of the best speakers I've ever heard in my life. I mean, he is he strikes populist themes that he's able to deliver lines on that are very good, and he's an excellent speaker. But he has a different view of America. I mean, this is a basic, fundamental difference. His view, and it creeps out more and more and more as it gets closer to the end of his presidency. His view is that his job and the government's job is to equalize everyone, and that means that those who have shouldn't have as much, and the government should get it away from them, and then the government put it to the groups and the entities within America that he feels need more money or what have you. And I mean, it is a basic philosophy. I mean, he talks about it more and more and all the time. And I don't know when America changed to the point where people are accepting a government that is so strong, so powerful, so intrusive, that it talks about who should have and who shouldn't, and what the government can do with what belongs to you and take it away from you and put it somewhere else. It's just, it's stunning. I mean, you sit there and you think, is this the country we're living in today, or are we going through a blip here where after this next 729 days that we're going to turn back to what America was founded on, and that is personal liberties. And certainly the personal liberties, the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of gathering, all those freedoms are important. But really the heart and center around everything is property, our property rights, personal property rights. I mean, that's what people get up in the morning, you go to work, you try to accumulate things for yourself, for your children, for your grandchildren, to make life better for you, and not have the government looking over your shoulder and saying you're doing too well. And so I don't know. We'll see how this all plays out as time goes on. But I'm here to fight for what Idaho's put me here for, and I'm going to continue on.
Senator, thank you.
Kevin, thank you. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, sir. Senator Risch with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, your reaction to the senator and, of course, our panel. 580-5436. Let's get you to traffic.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, our pre-protest party continues. Pat from Middleton, I think it's 50-50 Tea Party. Bob, if Pat makes it, he seems a little tired, and the president's not going to be here for a while.
Well, I don't know. He might be out there. Maybe he'll fall asleep in the crowd.
Oh, I Pat get from my... Middleton. Well, he's not going to the event. He's going to be roaming around there.
I'm
going to
be over. I'm going to find a Saeed's party.
I thought you had a ticket.
Saeed's party.
No, I didn't want a ticket. I didn't want to go in. I just want to. I want to see the protest. I want to see my best side, the Miller side.
See, I thought that's you right. Had
he's got the streak. He's got the Miller militant side. Okay. Remember, we're talking to the radio audience. I'm sorry for doing the on-air coaching, folks. We get so comfortable, we think it's an on-air conversation amongst ourselves. I know that you're the most important folks with us.
Thanks.
We go to the hypocrite liberal Steve at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Hey, if you got to be something, might as well be a hypocrite.
Actually, you said you were going to be here and you weren't.
Well, I had some pressing matters
you shouldn't make promises important. You can't keep.
I know. Did I put a ring on your finger?
Would you like to apologize?
No.
Okay, then. All right. 854 at 580-KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So immigration, we talked a little bit about that. Again, I say that the president will, make a big statement concerning a national monument here. You can look at it at 580KIDO.com, Obama's Idaho. What's he going to say about immigration? Hey, Idaho, I've legalized the illegals and I'm going to do more? Everybody's speculating this.
Actually, the ag guys here, we've got, 56,000 immigrants here in Idaho. And they're used in most of the agricultural industry, so... Yeah, I would think that he might get out there and say something about the immigration situation and how it's going to benefit especially the state of Idaho.
It just seems that all he's doing, and based on what he said last night at the State of Union, this is just the pandering tour.
Well, of course it's pandering, but that's what he does best.
It's all been pandering for the last 6 years.
Right, but again, he has nobody to work with, and the idea that it just seems like it's us against the American people. And you have a lot of people that I've talked to that said the president, now that he doesn't have the Democrats in Congress driving him down, is actually doing a good job, that he's riding high, that he's wonderful. Now, we've done 3 hours of Obama stinks, which should have been probably 4 hours. However, can you argue with the gas prices being down? Can you argue with the unemployment being down? Now, I've argued the other side of this, but for the sake of the other side of the equation here, look, he's riding high now.
Kevin, none of that has to do with him.
His popular, but he's getting credit for it.
Well, yeah, he's getting credit. Look, the reason we have unemployment down is because you had an enormous amount of jobs fueled by the petroleum industry. The reason you have gas prices low is because there was a glut in the oil prices.
Well, who's responsible for that?
Of course, it's the oil industry. It's not the government. Yeah. They had nothing to do with it.
OPEC's trying to run Russia out.
And who's in it with OPEC? Wouldn't that be the president? Don't you think he called King Fahd and said, hey, buddy?
No, he's trying to put us down, our domestic oil.
You know
oil
something?
Down.
I don't know why you're yelling. I don't know why both of you are yelling at me. I mean, you have a microphone. this is what you get. You don't get this anywhere else, folks. It's called passion, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Unemployment rate is down, but workforce numbers are down.
It's the participation
drastically.
Rate.
I mean, we have less people working a day than in 25 or 30 years.
35.
That number keeps getting lower itself.
Right, but again,
I mean, think about where 35 years ago, that was Jimmy Carter's era.
Right, but nobody remembers Jimmy Carter.
I do. And there's a lot my age.
But your age, was not the swing vote. Your age doesn't matter when it comes to the president.
Yeah, but we're starting to see it again, and the kids that are not getting jobs today.
You know what the kids are not getting jobs today? You know what they're doing?
They're in line getting tickets.
It's an opportunity to hear a speech from a sitting president. Being Idaho, we don't get that opportunity very often.
All right, so we have 30 seconds left. Go ahead, Pat, and then be nice. Let Tea Party Bob have a little here, too.
Anybody that's here on the radio, listening to us on the radio, come on down. Take a stand. Be present outside. We don't have to listen to Obama. We just join Saeed's group or anyone else that's marching on behalf of...
Right, and if you want to meet Pat from Middleton, he's wearing the Miller Militia 580K IDO shirt with a Boise State orange
light
hat.
Light blue.
Thank you.
Personally, I don't care what he does or what he says here. As long as he does something to get Pastor Saeed back, this has been going on for way too long. I think it's high time that he took some responsibility and did something to make this right.
All right, there we have it. Time for Traffic 25 in Star. Good morning, Dave. And my thanks to Pat from Middleton. If America were better off, we'd have more Pat from Middletons that are taking time out of their day to... make it happen. Tea Party Bob, as always, check him out at gemstatepatriot.com. Good day, God bless. And for my friend Cindy, keep the faith.